I'm Matt Markgraff. This is Sounds Good. I'm joined in the studio now by Kate Lochte and Tim Johns, Assistant Professor of English and Coordinator of the Jesse Stewart Fellowship in the Department of English and Philosophy at Murray State University, and active with Cinema International here on campus. They're going to be talking about Between Two Rivers. It's a 2012 documentary about Cairo, Illinois. Kate and Tim, thanks for joining us.
It's great that you can make time, and it's fortuitous that Cinema International is in the midst of showing the Best of the Fest, the River's Edge Film Festival that originates at Maiden Alley Cinema in Paducah. Tim, give us a rundown on tonight's shows, and we'll move towards the surprise that you all found in the packet next.
Okay, thank you for having me here, Kate. Tonight's show... we're doing two films, starting with a narrative short called Shoot the Moon. It's a Palestinian film about, I haven't seen it yet, but this is what the blurb reads. Marcy Mayers Shoot the Moon, tonight's film, is a narrative short that's 25 minutes that's shot in the United States. Yesterday we did the Palestinian short. And then the second film we're doing tonight is Hank Cochran's Living for a Song, which is a documentary feature. It's about 90 minutes long, and it's about the legendary Nashville songwriter Hank Cochran.
And as many of our listeners know, Cinema International is a free series on campus at Murray State University. Shows are in the Kuros Center Theater and start at 7 o'clock Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights.
Actually, 7:30.
7:30.
Right.
Good deal. So the big surprise was to see the 2012 documentary about the amazing town of Cairo, Illinois, titled Beyond Two Rivers. And this was delightful for you to discover, I understand.
It's actually entitled Between Two Rivers. And
That's
fine. And the title alludes to the confluence of the Mississippi and the Ohio Rivers, which meet at Cairo, Illinois. And so the film is made by two English directors, and their names are, I'm looking at my sheet here, Jacob Cartwright and Nick Jordan. And you never hear them speak, but a number of the people who are interviewed during the film say, well, since you're from England, and they allude to England. So,
now, you have a special connection because apparently you're not from around here, but when your dad comes to visit, you like to go to Cairo because he's a photographer?
Right. I'd heard a lot of rumors about Cairo when I first moved here. I came here from graduate school in New York City, but I'm originally from San Diego, so I'm used to, obviously, the ocean, and I wasn't, I'm not so sort of accustomed to the sort of river cultures. And my father and I went to visit, and I mean, it's a bit ghoulish in a way going to Cairo because it's kind of a ghost town in some ways. People do live there. And obviously, because of the flooding in 2011, I believe, they were in the news again. They were deciding whether or not to almost, get rid of the city or to flood towns in Missouri that had some farming. So whenever my father's here, he wants to go to Cairo to just, because he's interested in American history and in photography. And it is a very interesting city to photograph. And the directors of this film do a wonderful job of sort of capturing the kind of, the fatigue of that city and the ways in which the kind of weeds have grown in through the architecture and how everything is kind of crumbling in the town.
Thematically, what stood out for you upon your viewing of this film?
Well, interestingly, if you know the history of Cairo, it was at the center of the civil rights struggle. It's a town that's kind of southern. There's a southern feeling in it, and in fact, it's a delta town, which is almost kind of like just as New Orleans is a delta town. It has a kind of southern feeling, and actually, over the years, cultivated a kind of southern white aristocracy there, and which is very strange because it's in a northern state, Illinois. But I think one of the things that comes out of the film, one of the most insightful, that one of the interviewees who's in the film suggests how the town was kind of bypassed in American history. Originally, waterways, rivers, and railroads were central to, American traffic and American commerce. And one of the most interesting guys who's interviewed in the film talks about how the town was bypassed by the automobile and the plane. And those two kinds of forms of travel and commerce that were so essential to the 19th century were kind of bypassed. And interestingly, two of the most famous writers of the 19th century, both in Britain and in England and in the United States, Mark Twain and Charles Dickens, both wrote about the town of Cairo. In fact, in Huckleberry Finn, which is Mark Twain's most famous novel, Huckleberry Finn and Jim are actually traveling up the river toward Cairo because it's a free state. And Charles Dickens, in his American Notes for General Circulation, writes about, he talks about it as almost the kind of, is it one of the most desolate places on earth? Is a very interesting.
Do you have that passage?
Yeah, I could read the passage.
That'd be lovely.
And this is, I want to say, 1846. And this is Dickens' travels to the United States. And he came to the United States a lot of fanfare because people love Dickens' novels. And by the time he ended his trip, Americans began hating him because all he did was talk about how much, because people were pirating his editions and he was making no money here. This was before copyright laws in the United States. So, but this is a trip that he made down, I think from Cincinnati. And he says, he writes, and this is from chapter 12, "At length, upon the morning of the third day, we arrived at a spot so much more desolate than any we had yet beheld, that the forlornest places we had passed were, in comparison with it, full of interest. At the junction of the two rivers, on ground so flat and low and marshy that at certain times of the year it is inundated to the housetops, lies a breeding place of fever, ague, and death." I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that word, A-G-U-E, correctly. "Vaunted in England as a mine of golden hope and speculated in on the faith of monstrous representations to many people's ruin, a dismal swamp on which the half-built houses rot away, cleared here and there for the space of a few yards, and teeming them with rank, unwholesome vegetation in whose baleful shade the wretched wanderers who are tempted hither droop and die and lay their bones, the hateful Mississippi circling and eddying before it, and turning off upon its southern course a slimy monster hideous to behold, a hotbed of disease, an ugly sepulture, a grave uncheered by any gleam of promise, a place without one single quality in earth or air or water to commend it. Such is this dismal Cairo."
Phew, mincing no words. In spite of a quote from the movie, is this is Cairo, City of Hope.
Yeah, in many ways, Cairo, because of its commerce, was a city of hope. But it also, like a lot of what I learned in the film, and I hadn't quite realized this, it was also a city of sin, not just a city of hope. And it was a place where there was a lot of prostitution, a lot of gambling. And the city fathers, according to the documentary, cleaned up the town and cleaned out the vice. In fact, still when you arrive in Cairo now, there's signs around saying, don't bring cigarettes in if you want to smuggle cigarettes or whatever. So, just rivers were places, I assume, that were a place where there was illegal trafficking. And so a lot of the decline in commerce was blamed upon the civil rights boycotts. Blacks were not allowed to have jobs in the main street of town, and so they began a prolonged boycott that lasted almost a decade long and really destroyed the town. And so a lot of the white citizens of Cairo, sort of point the finger at the sort of boycott. But in the longer sort of trajectory of Cairo's history, the sort of cleaning out of the vice, cleaned out a lot of the money that was being made and a lot of the jobs that people had in town.
What is your primary takeaway from having viewed this documentary, and how would you recommend it for our listeners?
I gave a bad introduction to the films. It's not playing tonight, but it's playing tomorrow at 7:30, and it's actually It's actually the second film that we're showing. We're showing a film called Hip Hop Maestro, and I haven't seen it, but it's about a guy who goes from the streets to the symphony halls, and he's a kind of rapper, I assume. But the second film is showing just after 8 o'clock tomorrow, but we start our screenings at 7:30. The biggest takeaway, I think, was just how Cairo fits in the larger puzzle of American history. And it's not just a documentary that tells you about this particular, very interesting, in many ways very unfortunate town, but it's a documentary that really suggests something about the sort of larger contours of the you know, long passage of American history.
Well, I know many of us who are transplants to this region have been fascinated with Cairo and welcomed this documentary that emerged last year. And thank you to Cinema International at Murray State for bringing it into to your showings and making it possible for many more people to see it. And thanks for being with us today, Tim.
Thanks, Kate.
Tim Johns is an assistant professor of English with Murray State University and coordinates the Jesse Stewart Fellowship.